the intelligence community is ready to start deploying shared IT systems. Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu reports all 17 IC agencies will use the Intelligence Community Information Technology Enterprise, or iSight. You can read all about that at federalnewsradio.com. It is just one of the big IT programs government agencies are working on. Richard Spires is Chief Executive Officer of Resilient Network Systems and a veteran of many big government IT programs, former Chief Information Officer at the Homeland Security Department, among other positions. He's writing about five elements for managing a successful IT program. Richard, I know that you've written about other things subsequent to this list of five, but I wanted to touch on that first because you lay out the key elements that you have experienced in doing this, and it's one thing to talk about it. It's another thing to have done it. So I'd like to run through these. The first one that you write about is a set of mature management processes. What does that mean, Richard, in the context of building a big IT program? Thanks for coming on today.
Francis, I mean, the bigger and more complex, the more important this is. And these are a lot of the standard processes that project managers would learn as you know, part of the PMI and the training you get to be a project manager. Schedule management, configuration management, risk management, all those disciplines. And, those things, even in an agile world, just don't go away. They're still critical to delivering programs, and they're must-have in anything you do that's large and complex like IT.
The second element, ensuring a solid business architecture supported by a solid technical architecture. Number three, focusing on organizations' roles, commitment, and governance. You're writing all this for Federal Computer Week, and we have links at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. The fourth element, a set of skilled and experienced employees leading the program, and we'll come back to that in just a moment, and kind of combine that with the fifth and final key element that you write, developing the proper relationships with the contractor supporting the program. Those last two are the ones that I want to focus on for most of our conversation, Richard, because that leads us to your most recent writing about the people factor. And I'm fascinated by the amount of times that I hear people who hold the jobs like you used to hold in government, or who do what you do now, which is work in the private sector on big projects like this, and talk about how important people are, and then really mess it up when it comes to go time.
Well, government has got itself into a position where it's doing a lot of IT, and that's appropriate and needs to in order to deliver its mission, but it really doesn't have the resources on the people side to effectively carry out all these programs. I certainly saw it at the IRS, and I saw it even more at DHS when I was there. People have the greatest intent. They're good people, but many times they don't have the skills and experience in some of the roles that they're trying to play.
You list in your latest piece 10 positions that are typically essential, and you write that programs that lack solid individuals in these positions are at high risk of failure. There are 10 of them, and you can read the list at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. We have a link there. But you make an interesting observation. You write, the program manager too often cannot point to the individuals filling each of these key roles, or too many of the roles are filled by contractor personnel. That personal relationship and knowing that stuff strikes me as pretty elementary when it comes to deploying something big, whether it's a federal government IT system or managing a business unit in a private sector company or whatever. You got to know the players without a scorecard if you're really going to be the manager, it would seem.
Well, that's right. I think many of the program managers are given these large programs to run, and they're just not then given the resources. And I do want to highlight this point about the contractor versus, the government employees. I'm not against having, it's not like you have to have every single one of these roles filled by government employees. But I have found that the more and more that you rely just on contractors for these key program management roles, or the program manager and then the roles right underneath the program manager, the more you rely on contractors, my experience has been that it just doesn't work as effectively. There's just too much that needs to go on inside, if you will, the government walls, where government stakeholders are dealing with each other in order for this to work. And you need some key government employees in some of these roles. Not necessarily all, but in some of the key ones, you absolutely want to have government employees. And we're finding we didn't have all the employees we need with these skill sets to fill all the positions we had in these programs.
Yeah, Richard Spires is my guest. He's writing in Federal Computer Week about successful program management. And this is, I think, maybe the most interesting thing that you wrote in this piece to me, Richard. Another key to success is ensuring the involvement of the right mission or business organization. How often have you seen that go awry? Because that, again, seems like something that should be pretty basic and pretty clear to figure out early on in the process so you don't get apportioned into a program and realize you're kind of taking it on in the wrong way.
I think it's not a matter of intent. You'll have the mission owners, you know, they intend to support these programs. They say they are supporting these programs. But I think many people underestimate just what it takes from a resource commitment to do this appropriately. You need to take some of your very best people that know these business processes or mission processes end to end, got deep insight in these processes, and dedicate them to these programs. You know, nothing short of that will work in my background in doing these for large, complex IT programs. That is foundational to make this work. And I think you'll find that the very best people on the mission side or business side, they're pulled many ways. And a lot of times they're not able to dedicate the kind of time and effort it takes to really help make these programs successful.
You write, too often members of the PMO are measured on process results rather than beneficial outcomes. And that gets to an issue that I talk a lot about on this program, and that's incentives. How do you set this up so that that doesn't happen anymore, so that the outcomes is the criterion on which people are judged?
Well, I think it's easy, but of course in government, making it happen isn't so easy. You know, take all these people in the PMO, and you know, the example I use here is the contracting officer. If you're in almost all government programs use contractors, not all, but almost all, and the contractors play a key role, and the contracting officer plays a key role. That contracting officer needs to report up to the program manager and then dotted line report back to their organization. And that contracting officer, just as an example, needs to be incentivized on the beneficial outcomes of delivering the system that, you know, meets the mission or business need. Too often, you've got individuals, and I know I'm picking on procurement here just as an example, but if the contracting officer is just measured on getting the contract done or meeting a small business goal, not that those aren't, you know, important too, but if they're not measured on that beneficial outcome, you have an issue that has to be addressed. And I've seen this over and over again, where you've got people that are, quote, supposedly supporting the program, but they're not being measured on program outcomes. They're being measured on some level of process that they're being beholden to.
So at the nuts and bolts level, Richard, how do you make sure that that's embedded into the way that you're going to run your program? And I'm not talking so basic as to, well, you have to write out a checklist ahead of time or something like that, but at not just at the we should do it this way level, but at the we are going to do it this way, this is how this one will be run on my watch level.
Well, I think it has to go above that. I mean, I think at the agency level, I mean, I really do believe, not that the IRS, you know, is perfect in these things, but they've come a long way in maturing how they run programs. And a lot of the ideas I'm espousing, we put in place at the IRS. And, you know, I think they do it well. You know, in other agencies, if they're not really taking these things seriously around the people factor, for instance, or around the maturing their processes, you know, I'm a big one on setting up calm centers of excellence, for instance. If you don't have all the skilled individuals you need in your agency, then you've got to somehow, you know, begin a process to train them, to get them up to speed. Or if individuals or programs are needing help, you have to have a way to help them. How do you do that? Well, they've got to have some place they can turn to that does have the expertise. And at least you get a multiplier effect in doing it that way. There's many things we can do, and I'm going to write about some of these things to help. But we need to fundamentally relook at how we're running programs in federal government and how we're going about this. And this has got to be at the federal level, at the OMB level, and down at then in the department and agency level.
Well, and you kind of anticipated where I wanted to go to wrap up, which is it sounds like this is not an effort that's just going to be within each agency, especially as agencies are pushed more and more toward working on cross-agency goals, and some of those involve information technology.
Of course. And this has become, I think it's even more and more important as we move forward, as technology becomes even more embedded in each of these agencies, the delivery of successful IT programs becomes paramount to meet mission objectives. And we really do need to, at the top and then down at the department and agency level, need to relook at how we're doing this. And I know there's legislation that's pending that's looking at some of these elements. I know the management agenda and administration's looking at some of these things. But we need to get serious about this. And I think the healthcare.gov rollout is just one example where if you look at the five elements that I outlined and you compare against how they did it with healthcare.gov, I mean, there are strong indicators in just about every one of those elements of where they didn't do it correctly.
Richard Spires writing in Federal Computer Week. The headline is Program Management, the People Factor. Always good to have you on the program, Richard. Thanks for your time.
Well, thank you, Francis.
Richard Spires is Chief Executive Officer of Resilient Network Systems, former CIO at the Homeland Security Department. And you can find what he's writing linked at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth later this afternoon.